your Bibles again, please, to the book of Exodus. And chapter 19 is a really awesome, to me, picture of God giving his law to the people. And it is a great, great passage. There are so many folks that will say, well, you know, I keep the Ten Commandments and I'm doing pretty well. And the truth of the matter is, probably you don't keep the Ten Commandments. And if we were to study the Ten Commandments, you would very clearly see that. In fact, the simple truth about the Ten Commandments is most of the time when somebody says to me they keep the Ten Commandments, I ask them, what are they? And they haven't got a clue. They might have maybe part of one, but they don't really know the Ten Commandments. It would be like me telling a police officer that I'm only going 50 or that I'm going 65 miles an hour, and he says, but the zone is 55, and I say that I'm not breaking the law when I just passed a sign that says I am breaking the law. And he says, in reality, you really don't know what the speed limit is, do you? And again, every organization, every country, every group has to have rules, has to have laws, and it is responsible of them to let people know what you can do and what you can't do. And of course, God being God would do the same thing. The military has rules. Your company where you work, the business that you, they have rules. Your school that you attend has rules. Churches have rules. Otherwise, there would be chaos and it would be total confusion. And so we have signs all across our roadways, our highways. We are told you can go this fast in this area and you have to slow down in this area, but you can speed up in this area. And we're told how fast we can drive. We're told where we can park, when we can park. We're told which direction we can go. We're told not to make U-turns. We're told, you know, all these different things. We ran into something yesterday in Ann Arbor, roundabouts. That's exciting. And you're told all the information you need to know, but if you're going very fast, you better try to figure it out quickly. Because I kept saying, I'm not sure who I'm yielding to here. It's very interesting when you're not used to that. We have seen that concept somewhere else. But again, all of that is not done to make life miserable. All of that is done to so that there's no chaos. We are prone to chaos. And to prove that, take away all the rules, and you would see chaos. And so I want to show you this morning, and then we'll talk a little more about it tonight, and we'll talk a little more about it next Sunday morning and Sunday evening. But mainly this morning, I just want to show you when God gave man the law. It is very amazing that right after chapter 19, and by the way, we read this, there's smoke, there's fire, there's thundering, there's earthquaking. It's a terrible scene here at Mount Sinai. There's nothing beautiful about this picture at all. I mean, you read it. The trumpet is blaring. There's the smoke of the furnace. The mountain is shaking, and it's thunderous. And there's nothing beautiful about it at all. Nothing. I mean, there is nothing appealing about any of that. Not one thing. As I read it, it reminds me of driving down the highway and seeing a speed limit sign when I'm in a hurry. And there's just nothing appealing about that speed limit sign, right? Do you understand what I'm saying? You that drive, some of you ignore it. But I'm just saying there's nothing appealing about that speed limit. I don't tell me how fast I'm supposed to go. I want to go faster than that. Or the dreaded sign, road construction. Fines doubled. Oh, plus the thought that they're really watching. Right? And it kind of reminds me of any law that I don't want to do. It's and by the way, that's what it's supposed to do. Because right after this, we have chapter 20 of Exodus, and there are the Ten Commandments. And by the way, there's more than Ten Commandments. The fact is, the ten are enough to show us that we fail. The ten are enough to show us that we fail. So, when God gave man the law, Father, bless the preaching. Please speak to our hearts. Give us what we need today. If there's someone here not saved, I pray they'll see their need to be saved today. God, that you'll show them that they have come short of the glory of God, and they need a Savior. They need the blood of Jesus Christ. They need to call upon him and be saved, and I pray you'll do that. And then I pray that you will give us a sharp reminder today of the law and our disobedience to that law and our need for Christ and how we are prone, so prone, to go against that precious law that you've given. I pray that you'll bless and speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. And so here in this passage that we just read, God is giving the law to man, and everything is coming to that. And I think of there are those that would say, well, you know, I'd rather not know. And that doesn't do you any good, though, because ignorance is no excuse for the law. I mean, the law, you for example, when we moved here, we did not know that you weren't allowed to park on the street in the city of Adrian. By the way, many of you don't even know that to this day. And you're not allowed to park overnight on the street here in the city of Adrian. And we had a reminder of that. David came to visit. He was going to college. He came to visit, spent the night, parked his car in front of the house, thought everything was fine, and he got a ticket. And we said, wait a minute now. You know, I mean, this is in front of the house, and everything should be fine, except there is a law that says you can't do that. And I'll never forget going to Norm Helensky and asking him, saying, well, you know, how's a person supposed to know? He said, it's on every entrance into Adrian, there's a sign that says that law. And it is. By the way, I checked. I even tried to find little country roads, you know, that come in. But no, there's a little lane right here. It's not, no. But anyway, and it is marked. And there it is a law. Now, by the way, saying we didn't know, that doesn't do any good. Do you understand? Saying, well, I was unaware of that law, it doesn't do any good. But officer, I was unaware of the speed limit change here as we approach your fine little community. Doesn't do any good, does it? Well, I didn't see the sign. I'm sorry. I just didn't see the sign. But it doesn't. Did you know that if you can't see a stop sign, you're still supposed to stop? Well, but I couldn't see the sign. I was texting. Or anyway, the point is, it doesn't matter. Ignorance is no excuse. Now, that's why God is a just God. Stay with me now, okay? This is real basic stuff here. God is a just God, and God tells us his law. Okay, God is perfect. There is no one more just than God. And God gives us, and here he is giving man his law. He's saying, here's what you can do, here's what you can't do, all right? And God is giving the law to man. And there's some things we need to realize. You know, the Bible says that the law is eternal. It's always been. God's law has always been. He doesn't change it all. That he doesn't have to. It's always been. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. The Word was God. God's Word, God's law, it always has been. Psalm 19:7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect. You and I could challenge the law of the Lord, but it ain't going to do any good because it's perfect. Everything God says, every thou shalt not, it is absolutely perfect, and we have it all written in his Word. The law of the Lord is perfect. Yet here's the thing that stands out about this passage of Scripture, and I would encourage you to read it again just later on maybe to get it, and that is, verse 16, it came to pass on the third day in the morning, there were thunders, lightnings, a thick cloud upon the mount, the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp, they trembled at the law is coming. We are about to learn the law. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. They stood at the nether part of the mount, and Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke. The Bible says it was like a furnace, and it quaked, and it was a terrible, dreadful sight. And all he's doing is giving the law. In Romans 7, in verse 7, we learn, in fact, look there, and we're going to be there tonight quite a bit. Romans 7 and verse 7, here is why it's so dreadful to us. Romans 7, 7, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. In other words, hey, as long as I don't know that I'm doing something wrong, I'm having a good time. That's interesting, isn't it? And so here God is about to show them what they're doing wrong. Are you listening? That's what the law is. It's going to reveal their sinfulness to them. They're already sinners, but now God is going to show them, here's the law, okay? It's kind of like somebody getting their driver's license not having their driver's license, you know, maybe years ago, and people kind of drove out in the country and everything, and here's this person that drives, and then they come into the city, and they're going 80 miles an hour down the highway just having a great time, and they get stopped, and the police officer says, hey, you know, you're going way over the speed limit. And they say, what's that? What's the speed limit? Well, you're only allowed to go so fast. Oh, well, I'm just having a good time out here. I'm doing my own thing. And boy, the reality that there is a law that you can't do that. There is a law. By the way, we're going to take away your license. What license? Oh, now they're in real trouble. But I was doing okay. I was having a good time. I'm just driving my car. I'm just doing my own thing. And I'm having a great time out here. And you're going to take away my car now? Oh, yeah, we're taking away everything. You're in big trouble, buddy. You can't do that. It's the finding out. It's the revealing to us that we are sinners. That's the law. Exodus 19, it should be a very powerful passage to those who may believe, well, I just want to do my own thing. There is no doing your own thing. By the way, you say, you know what? There's people doing their own thing. They're having a good time. And guess what? One of these days, they're going to die. And they're going to go to hell. You know why? Because they didn't keep the law. Amen. And the law is God gave it, and it's written on our heart. Do you know we all know that it's wrong to kill people? Seriously, we all know it's wrong to steal. I mean, before I ever went to church, I knew that stealing would be a bad thing. There's things that are, the Bible talks about it being written on our hearts because we deep down, we know some of these things. But I'm just saying God reveals it, said, here is the law. And I'll explain that in a minute. You know, there's a lot of people today just say, well, you know, we don't care about all that stuff. We don't care about the thou shalt. And by the way, that's a cute little thing nowadays for churches. We don't care about the thou shalt and the thou shalt nots. We just worship Jesus. You ever heard anything like that? Don't raise your hand. You don't have to. But it's big. It's popular. Can I show you something in Psalm 138, verse 2? That you know, that all sounds cute, and that all sounds like, well, y'all come to our church. But I got news for you. Psalm 138, verse 2, pretty well takes care of that. It says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. And you want to say that we don't care about the thou shalt and the thou shalt nots, and we're just going to do our own thing, and we just want to worship Jesus. You cannot worship Jesus and disrespect the law, the word of God. Amen. You cannot do it. You're not going to do it, and it doesn't work. And it's just kind of like burying our head in the sand saying, you know what, I don't need what God says. This response to the law is an amazing thing. And that's really what this message this morning is about. Number one, I want you to see the solemn promise. It was notice chapter 19 and verse 8, and here's what the people said. Let's start at verse 7. Moses came, called for the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. They said, "We will do these things." Now, obviously, you know, Moses had been with the Lord. Moses had many of the commandments, many things from God. And the people said, you know, we'll do that. We're going to obey those things. All these words, we will do. Now, what they said was, we will do it. What they meant was, as long as it's what we want, we will do it. I mean, honestly, you and I, we can tell God a lot of things, and many times we tell him things we know he's going to like us to say. But the fact of the matter is, we always have that little clause in there. Well, but it's whatever I want. And you'll notice here, before the reality of the law here is really understood by them, and that is that there's going to be a price if you don't do it. There's going to be an accountability if you don't do it. I mean, how many of you know that if you tell your kids not to do something or else, if the or else doesn't come, they're going to do it again? Because they learn. And by the way, it's not just kids, it's adults, it's everybody. If the or else never takes place, then I guess it doesn't matter. I mean, they're looking at this mount and they're seeing the smoke and they're seeing the fire and they're realizing, hey, this is, God's pretty serious about this thing. But they made a promise. They said, we will do it. We will obey. We will. But until the greatness and the holiness of God is seen, man looks okay. Until the law is seen, until the law is preached, until the truth is preached, man looks okay. Man looks like he's doing pretty well. I kind of got a kick out of, as I was thinking about the solemn promise and going through this in my mind, the choir was singing, "The Bible Stands," and one of the verses says, "And all its precepts I will obey." That's what they said. They said, we're going to obey it. By the way, precepts, that's the principles of the Scripture. It's not just the every word. You know, a lot of people say, well, the Bible doesn't exactly say. Yeah, but the principle is very clear. And all its precepts we will obey. And that's what we're saying. It's a solemn promise. We will obey. We will do that. But until you realize there's a punishment that goes along with that, it's easy to say. Very easy to say. And you see, the goal of the devil is no Bible, no preaching, no truth, no thou shalt, no thou shalt not, so that man keeps thinking he's okay. Honestly, I mean, as long as we could just speed down the highway and there's no sign anywhere telling us what to do, we feel pretty good about ourselves. But what if there really is a law that says you can only go 55, but they just didn't post any signs? And we get pulled over, and we get a ticket, and we're guilty, and we have to pay the fine. You say, well, that doesn't seem right that we didn't know. That's why we're trying to let you know. That's why God's trying to let us know. That's why any church that doesn't tell people what's right, what's wrong, any church that doesn't preach this book, they might as well close their doors. It is not right to not preach the truth, to not say, thus saith the Lord, to not say, this is right, this is wrong. It is unjust for somebody to say, hey, we represent the Lord, and not tell what the Lord says. But Satan, you know, he's watered down so much of that today that man thinks he's okay. And all of a sudden now we have laws saying that when you preach against somebody's sin, for example, homosexuality, which is sin, according to the Bible, that is a hate speech. All it is telling the truth. That's all it is. And it's no different than when my doctor used to tell me that I'm fat. Well, doc, don't you understand that that's hate? You hate me. Does he hate me because he's telling me the truth? I remember my eye doctor told me one time, he said, you have glaucoma. You better do something about it or you're going to go blind. You hate me. No, he's just telling me the truth. Folks, honestly, that's all the law is. It's just the truth. You and I aren't going to change this book. Okay, we're not. We may put different black letters on white paper, but we're not going to change God's law. It's written in heaven. It's eternal. It's always been. We're not going to change it. Okay, you say, well, I've changed. Okay, you may change, but he doesn't change. Yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same. He's always the same. He always will be the same. This book will always be the same. It is the law. And it is cut. It is dry. It is steadfast. There is no question about it. And the people made a promise to God and said, we will keep it. But they weren't thinking about what all it was. Or maybe they were. But man wants to make his own law then. That's what a lot of religion is. There is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And by the way, we can make our own law too. We're going to start our own religion, and everybody has to be bald in order to get to heaven. Kayla's holding on to her hair. No, please don't. No, but we can't do that. I mean, we can say anything we want to say, and many have. That's what all the cults are about today. I mean, there are so many wacky things going on out there that you have to do in order to get to heaven. Listen to me. The whole idea is, man said, we will keep your word. God said, okay, I'm going to make it clear. Here is my word. By the way, God knew man couldn't. You say, why are you preaching this to us today? Because I want you to understand that you can't. I want all of us to understand what the law is and that the truth of the matter is we can't keep it. But I'll get to that. Number one, the solemn promise. Number two, the divine purpose. Here's what he says. He says in chapter 19 and verse 9, okay, you said you would do it. Verse 9, the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people, and he said, I'm coming to you. Chapter 20 and verse 20, look at it. Here's why he came. Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you. Watch this. And that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. He said, I'm coming to prove you. They said, we'll do it. He says, okay, I'm going to prove to you something. And watch me now. He's not coming to prove they could keep it. He's coming to prove they can't keep it. He said, I'm coming to show you that you can't keep your word. You can't keep the law. You cannot do it. We have people today saying, oh, you need to live by the law. There's religions all over the place saying, well, we're going to live by the law. We're going to live by the law. And as long as we live by that law, we're going to be all right. The fact of the matter is, you can't keep that law. It's not possible for a human to do it. I'll talk tonight and talk about our flesh tonight and the reason why we fail. By the way, God knew we'd fail, and he knew before the foundation of this earth was ever laid. Before the first mountain was raised up, before the first ocean was dug out, before the first river was carved out, God knew. He knew that we could not keep his law. Not possible. Couldn't do it. And so he's going to prove them. And what's that mean? It just means they're going to find out they can't. How are they going to find out? Because they're going to see it. They're going to see that it is not possible to keep it. Those who choose to be saved by their works are going to have to prove somehow they kept their works. You say today, well, I kept all the Ten Commandments. You're going to have to prove that you kept all the... I promise you this. If we went through the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, we'll find three or four in there you never have kept. Never. And I don't care how hard you try, you're gonna fail somewhere along the line. That's just 10. There's hundreds. The divine purpose to prove. He said, I've come to prove. You said you'd keep it. Now I want to show you. I want to show you. The people, the Bible says, they're trembling. Why are they trembling? Because now they know. You mean we're accountable? We just said we'd do it because we want, you know, we just kind of wanted to make him happy. Understand this. The law is not around to make God happy. The law is there because it is to be kept. It's perfect. It's perfect. And it is to show us that we fail. You wouldn't have known you sped unless there was a law that said that when you go this speed, it's speeding. You wouldn't have known that you committed, that you stole something unless there was a law that said thou shalt not steal. You know, we wouldn't know we did anything wrong unless there was a law that proves and shows us we did this wrong. Those who choose to be saved or to get to heaven by their work, they will meet God as a judge who is going to take the law and prove that you failed. And the Bible says every mouth will be stopped. You know why? There's nothing to say. It's like when the officer says the speed limit sign says 35, you were going 45. What are you supposed to say? I didn't look for the sign, officer. That really means a lot to him. Oh, I didn't know. Understand, every mouth shall be stopped. There will be no arguing when you face God as the judge. You face him as judge when you want to be saved by the law. You face him as judge when you want to be saved by works. You don't face him as a merciful father, because the law is the perfect standard. And it is like a fan in the hand of God that separates the chaff from the wheat. Oh yeah, no question about that. The solemn promise, the divine purpose, number three, is the needed preparation. Because in chapter 19, he said this. He said, be ready against the third day. The third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. Thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves, that ye go not up into the mount or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. All of a sudden now, they're starting to find out, we've got to prepare for this. And honestly, all they can go by is, well, we did tell God we would obey. We did tell him we'd do these things. And now they're starting to realize that, you know what, we failed. That's why Amos 4:12 says, prepare to meet thy God, because everybody's going to meet him. Every human is going to meet him. Prepare to meet thy God. He said this, he said, if you even touch the mount, you die. Well, where'd that rule come? That's part of the law. James 2:10 says, he that offendeth in one point is guilty of all. One point. Just one point. Doesn't matter which one it is. Just one. Guilty of all. That's why the Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. You say, that's too harsh. Preacher, that's too tough. That's too hard. No, that's people that said they would keep the law. That's a people that are required to keep the law. And so that brings us to the fourth thing, and that's the awful presence. And it is. 16 to 20 is powerful verses about our God, who is a holy, righteous, sin-hating God. I know, we think of him as he's the cool dude upstairs. He absolutely hates that. Amen. Because he's not that. He is God. He is sovereignty. He is. You have to understand, there's no one on earth that even compares to God Almighty. And we just get a little glimpse of the power of the law as we read these passages of Scripture. And verse 20, it ends with the smoke and the furnace and the earthquake and the lightning and the thunder and the trumpet sounding long and louder and louder. And verse 20, the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount. And the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mountain. Moses went up. And understand this presence of God. The Lord came down with thunder, with lightning, in a cloud, in fire, in smoke, in earthquaking, with the trumpet blaring. There was absolutely nothing there to attract. There was nothing there to encourage. There was nothing there that would give peace. There was God as judge. That is the God that anyone who is lost, that's the God they will face. That is the God that today, if you're not saved, you will face that God. He will be the judge. He is not the loving Father to you because you chose your own way. He is not the suffering Savior for you because you chose to not receive Him as such. You sit here today as a church member but lost, and you know you're lost. You're not going to fake God out, because you will come to God with the law as your judge, and the law will find you guilty, because we're all guilty. We stand guilty. And the law is the smoke and the fire and the burning and the awful presence of God the judge. It's God's character as the judge, to the place where Hebrews says our God is a consuming fire. I know, it's not a lot of fun, is it? That awful presence. By the way, that's why the Bible talks about us fearing the Lord. It's why we are to preach the fear of the Lord. It's why we're to preach about hell. It's why we're to preach about the fire of hell and the terribleness of hell, because it would be like my doctor not telling me that I had glaucoma. Well, I don't care if he goes blind. Drops. I've been on drops and different laser treatments and I don't know how many years now, probably 15 years, something like that. And I just read something the other day about glaucoma, that it is the silent disease as far as making people blind. Those who don't know, those whose doctors didn't find it. It's very treatable, as I know, and some of you know. But what if I had a doctor that was like a lot of religions today? I don't want to offend him. I mean, that's going to offend that poor guy. You know, if I tell him he has glaucoma, that's a terrible word to tell somebody they have glaucoma. It's kind of like some of you sitting here today. I can't believe Pastor, you know, he's making sinners feel bad. Yeah, I just can't believe that eye doctor made me feel bad that day. Well, it's just, what a shame to tell him such a thing. What a shame to tell somebody they have cancer that can be treated. Isn't that terrible? I mean, we have people in this room, and I'm not going to point anybody out, but several of them, you know, your doctor, actually, I cannot believe your doctor told you you have cancer. And he told you you have cancer and that you could treat that. That is unbelievable. How could he be so cruel to you? He should have just let you go on with it. Your eye doctor, preacher, he should have just let you go on with your glaucoma, and I'd be blind today. You know, my doctor here, he should have just let me go ahead and eat sugar all my life until they started cutting off my side of my foot and toes and my foot and right above my knee. You know, he should have just not said a word to me, because it did offend me quite a bit when he said, quit eating all the junk you're eating. I was offended. There's folks here, you know, you know, people get offended about stuff. You know, I can't believe my doctor told me. Hey, listen to me. Quit going to him then. And that's what people do. They quit going to preaching where it tells the truth. And because there's all kinds of places you can go, and they're going to not tell you what God's word tells you. You say, I'm just going to, I keep the Ten Commandments. And you don't even know the Ten Commandments. You see, this awful presence is God as judge. There is nothing attractive. Nothing. You know why? Because as judge, we're guilty. Everybody is. Oh, I'll tell you what. I sure love him as Psalm 23, my shepherd. I sure love him as my Savior, Isaiah. I sure love him as my counselor, Isaiah 9:6. Amen. But I'll tell you what. I'm so glad I don't have to face him as a judge. I'm so glad I'm not trying to get to heaven by my good works. So glad I'm not trying to get to heaven by my religion. I'm so glad that when I die, I'm not going to have to face him and say, oh, I was dunked in water. That'll get me to heaven. I'm so glad when I face him, I don't have to say, well, my relatives all went to church. I'm so glad that when I face God, he's not the judge. He's the advocate. He's the defense attorney. He says, I died for you, my son. I'm so glad. And that's not made possible by me. That's made possible by him, because he loves me. But I called on him one day. And why did I call on him? Because I saw that Mount Sinai. I saw the smoke, the furnace, the fire, the lightning, the thunder. I saw a law that I could not keep. I saw a law that I could not do. I could make the promise, but I knew that I was a sinner. And today, listen to me. You say, I hate that law. And boy, it is tough. But thank God for that law that shows you that you need Jesus. Thank God for the doctor that says you need treatment. Thank God for the sign that says here's the speed limit. Thank God for the law that says that it's written so that you know if I do this, then there's punishment, so I'm not going to do it. Thank God that God shows us that, but thank God he's made a way that even though I break the law, I can be forgiven of my sins. Number one, we saw the solemn promise. Number two, the divine purpose. Number three, the needed preparation. Number four is the awful presence. And number five is the effect produced. And here's what it is. It's so sad. We see it in the Garden of Eden when man is created and they're having wonderful fellowship, Adam and Eve, with God. But notice chapter 20 and verse 18. By the way, this passage has the Ten Commandments. But verse 18, all the people saw the thundering, the lightning, the noise of the trumpet, the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. That was the nearest their good works could get them. Because they knew when they saw the law and they saw the judgment of God, you can't even touch this mountain. When they saw what that meant, that was the closest their good works could get them. Adam and Eve said, you know what? We'll still talk to God. We'll cover ourselves with our good works. And they found out that didn't work either. By the way, isn't it interesting, Adam and Eve, when they put on their garments of leaves, they still hid? Read it. Yeah, they had on their good works, but they still hid from God. You know why? Because it was written in their hearts. Guilty. And God himself killed an animal in the garden and made skins to cover them so they could fellowship with him. I'm telling you, the nearest your good works can bring you is not close enough. And they stood afar off. How sad. Isaiah says, who is able to stand before this holy Lord God? I'm so glad he's my father. I'm so glad I can come to him as daddy and I can talk to him. But I know for a fact that if I did not have the blood of Jesus Christ, the only standing before him is, as he says, guilty. That's the only standing. The world, Hollywood, rock music, rap, all of it, it mocks our God. It's a joke. He's a joke. He's the old man upstairs, all those kind of things. People do it all the time. But I promise you this, someday they will stand before his eyes, which are a flame of fire. And the law will cause their mouths to be shut. You this morning who believe or you think somehow or maybe just desire that to get to heaven by good works, it's not going to happen. It cannot happen. Titus says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. That's what we need, his mercy. These people said, we'll do it. God said, here it is. They said, oh, wait a minute. Oh, wait a minute. And chapter 20, verse 19 is a precious verse. They stood afar off in verse 18, and they said unto Moses in verse 19, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And they realized they needed a mediator. When sin and judgment are known, that's when the need is felt. When all of a sudden we realize we're lost and judgment is coming and hell is real, and that's what's going to happen. When that is realized, all of a sudden there's a need for someone else to step in. What can I do then? Not by works of righteousness, but it's all I know to do. I mean, I didn't go to church very often, but when I did go to church, it was a church that said, as long as you do good things, you'll go to heaven. Boy, when all of a sudden you realize you can't do good things, what am I going to do? And the people said, Moses, you need to stand between us. Oh, but God had a better plan. God had a plan where it wasn't a sinful man standing between them. It was His precious Son. The terror of the law reveals the need of Calvary. It's the law that brings us to the realization, I need something. Is there no way? And then I read John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Wait a minute, God loves me. God loves me, and He knows that I can't keep His law, and He knew that I couldn't keep His law. Before I was ever created, He knew. But before I was ever created, in the heart and mind of God, He sent His Son. Before the foundation of this world was ever laid, and He was slain in the heart of God for my sin. Wow. Isn't that amazing? There is one mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus. The people look at that mountain and they see for the first time, really, they realize we cannot do it ourselves. We said we'd keep the word. We said we'd obey the law. We said, but we can't do it. And that brings me to the last thing, number 6, and that is the perfect provision. And there it is, verse 24. Now it already had been in place, but the people really see it now. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon. Sacrifice. Blood must be shed for sin to be forgiven. And when Jesus came into the world, it's no accident that the Word of God says when John the Baptist saw him. Now he saw him as a little baby in his mother's womb, he realized his presence. The Bible says he leaped with joy. But as a man, when John the Baptist saw Jesus, he said, behold, the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God, the sacrifice of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God. There he is. It's Jesus, the Lamb, the one who would die to pay for sins, so that man could be saved. Because man cannot be saved any other way. Notice in Romans 8, verse 3. Romans 8, verse 3, and I'm just about done. Romans 8, 3. The Bible, and this is such a good verse to explain this. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The law could not save us. Listen to me now. Somebody says, well, I want you to come and visit this group. Group that is meeting and they're keeping the Old Testament law and this religion, they believe in the Old Testament law, and they're doing all the Old Testament, and that's how you get to heaven. No, it didn't. Amen. You know why it's not? Because the law doesn't save. The law condemns. The law can't save. All the law can do is condemn. Why? Because it's weak through our flesh. Because we just keep breaking it. Yeah, but I do a lot of good things. But if you do one bad thing, you're guilty of all. Yeah. By the death of Jesus, the burial, the resurrection, praise the Lord, He stands between us and the law. And that smoking mountain, I don't see it. I realize it. And that's what I want you to do today, because most of us here are Christians. I understand that. Let's understand something, folks. You know, God's law is still perfect, and it's still His law. It's absolutely perfect. And, you know, it's every bit His word. It is still eternal. It always will be. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let's quit messing around with this idea. Well, there are other ways. There is no other way. Amen. I want you to understand that the law is not an option for salvation. Religion is not an option for salvation. Doing good, it's not an option for salvation, because we can't keep it. We cannot keep it. And therefore, just as the people realized here, without Christ, without a sacrifice, without a mediator, everybody goes to hell. Jesus is that sacrifice. He is the Lamb. He is the mediator. He is the in-between me and the law. Because I promise you this, I'm guilty. You're guilty. We're all guilty. But because of Him, we're not guilty. And that's only because of Him. Oh, we ought to be thankful. Oh, we ought to rejoice. Oh, we ought to be excited. We ought to be so glad that we don't have to back away from our God. He says, come boldly. Amen. Come boldly to the throne of grace. What's that mean? With confidence. Not in us. Not in, well, look what I did, God. No, forget that. It's what You did. And because of the blood of Jesus, I can come to Him anytime, any place, any circumstance. I can come to Him. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I wonder if you're here today and you're trying to get to heaven some other way. You say, well, I'm just trying to be a religious person. I'm trying to do some good things. I'm trying to understand this. Jesus loves you. He died on the cross to pay for your sins. Why don't you get saved today? How many would say, preacher, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I do not know whether I'm going to heaven. If I died right now, I don't know where I'd go. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand? Anyone? Pray for me. Nobody's looking but me. Pray for me. I do not know whether I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Pray for me. Anyone? Just slip up your hand. Pray for me. I'm not sure. How many Christians would say, preacher, God has spoken to my heart as a Christian today about something in my life? Please pray for me. Raise your hand, Christians, all over. God's speaking to my heart. Father, bless the invitation now. Thank You so much for the Word of God that shows us what we are and what we need. Thank You, God, that there is a mediator between God and man. Thank You that we don't have to stand afar off, that we can come to You anytime. And we can come boldly with confidence. And we can come knowing that You hear. Thank You so much for the blood of Jesus. Bless now this invitation. And speak to our hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.